we're back with Brews and Reviews. Cole and Jake here for Spidey Semba. I hope you upload this after November. Or I'm going to look really foolish.
We'll see.
So we talked about Spider-Man 3 last one. Now we're talking about The Amazing Spider-Man. New cast, new director, new whole thing. And actually, Cole, I want to hear your take on this one.
Actually, I probably liked it a lot more than I thought I would. Especially when there was the whole thing with, like, Tobey Maguire, and it was like, oh, they're going to make a fourth movie, and oh, actually, they're not going to make a fourth movie. We're going to get a new movie. They're recasting Spider-Man, doing a reboot. I'm like, it wasn't that long ago.
Like, yeah, this, it was literally, like, 3 years.
Yeah,
like,
I'm like, this is a quick reboot.
They're like, hey, guys, so Spider-Man 3, people hated it. It just broke box office records, but we're going to cut it.
Yeah, and so, like, I was definitely in, like, okay, I generally like superhero movies. I'll watch it, but very little expectations. And I know that, you know, you were not a fan of Andrew Garfield probably as much as I was.
No, Tobey Maguire, before Tom Holland got into the picture, I was a very stark defender of Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker. I thought he was the perfect Spider-Man. Because I'm like, dude, you take off the mask, there's no way it looks like that guy. Andrew Garfield, true story. So I saw this opening night, and my girlfriend at the time, it didn't work out, in case listeners are wondering. We went there, and she's like, they finally made Peter Parker hot. I'm like, no one should ever say that about Peter Parker. Like, not supposed to be a mom. Now, granted, that being said, Andrew Garfield's portrayal had no problem with it. The story and the structure, that's where I had a problem with this movie.
I think, not to get into the second one as well right away.
No, stay tuned.
But I think the Amazing Spider-Mans are carried by Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy. So Emma Stone.
Oh, their chemistry. Emma Stone and
Garfield. That was something we talked about in the originals that I felt was kind of lacking, and especially in the third movie, was any type of chemistry where you felt like they were good together, supposed to be together. Like, you know, there's problems that they have or different things in these movies, but you feel like they need to be together.
You feel you're 100%
this
right.
This is not Ross and Rachel where you're like, I know you just ended up together, but I really don't think it's going to work out for you.
100%. The one thing they did great in there was when they were having like their little high school like spats, you felt like, yeah, like I could see these two being together. This makes complete sense to me. But it was everything else in this movie that kind of gave me like, oh, really? You're going to do that? Oh, you're going to do that? Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, definitely spoilers. I think my biggest issue with the movie was
Dr.
Connors.
Really? You didn't like him?
I didn't like Dr. Connors. I didn't like him as a villain. I didn't think he had a lot to, like, I didn't like how the story played out with him. I thought you had this cool, you know, we don't want to see the same origin story we just saw, but we don't want to deal with a huge origin story. I thought they did a good job of, like, giving you a quick, like, okay, this is Peter Parker. This is how he's a little different. His parents were gone. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm bought in on this part. And then whenever it had anything to do with the lizard, I'm like, I feel like it kind of took me away from like this cool little story.
Do you think the casting was a problem? Because I literally thought the lizard was perfectly cast. I think it's the structure around the movie that kind of where it failed. Because I think they had something in here that they kind of messed up.
I think, and again, this is me being picky with my villains, I thought it was a bad villain in general.
Well,
maybe you casted it well for what you picked. But how you portrayed the villain, how it did everything, I'm like, this villain did nothing for me. I didn't feel like he didn't have some of the, like,
gravitas, or what are you going at here?
A lot of times it's like, you know, Doc Ock, who was like, oh, this is the guy that Peter was just like talking to. Like, I don't feel like he had that connection with this villain as far as like a very strong personal connection.
Structure being the problem.
And yet, I don't feel like this was an outside, you know, somebody coming in that's this, gravitas figure that's like, oh, this is somebody I need to compete against. It was just a very, like, villain that was there to have a villain, but I didn't feel any fear towards the villain. I didn't feel any betrayal towards the villain. Like, I didn't feel like this villain did anything for me. And so when he's going through the different things, or it's like, you know, whether this villain, like, whether he dies, or, you know, I suppose they have to stop him. But if he just moved on to a different city, like, oh well.
You're 100% right, but I'm going to bring up the two biggest problems in this movie. One, you rebooted the Spider-Man series way too quick. Okay. Like Batman and Robin happened in what, 97?
Ish.
And then you waited till 2005. Literally, as soon as Spider-Man 3, you're like, oh, that's not good enough. You're like, all right, we're going to reboot it, and we're going to bring it back in 3 years. The biggest problems in this movie is, one, I forgot what I was going to say.
I was, like, waiting.
No, I had, like, so many points in my head. The Norman Osborn one. So that you bring in Osborn again, and they're like, oh, we gotta do something new. We gotta do something different. The Oscorp connection, terribly done. Agreed. You should have absolutely just thrown that out. Yeah. Like, listen, we still have Norman Osborn. We still have Harry Osborn. Do not try to force, like, a new Oscorp connection. The Lizard, greatly cast, but again, we already saw Lizard in Spider-Man 1 through 3. We had Dr. Kurt Connors that we knew and we loved. And you're going to throw a new one at us and be like, hey, you should care about him the same way you care about the other one. And number three, this movie just, like, it's the Uncle Ben paradox.
With great power comes great responsibility.
No, but, like, he says it, but he doesn't want to say it. Like, we can't repent. Like, he wants to say, like, you have the responsibility. Like, he gives, like, a paragraph to Peter when they're fighting. And then he dies, but it's kind of like he just dies, like, on screen. But it's like, it doesn't feel like, you did everything way too quickly. Homecoming did better. Like, hey, we all know you saw you saw Uncle Ben die. Let's just forget about that. Like, yeah. You know what happened. Like, this one tried to do, they rebooted it so quickly that, like, when you're trying to do the Uncle Ben thing, like, oh, not my policy. Like, it was terrible when Uncle Ben died. Like, I felt nothing towards that character.
Yeah, I'll say you're right on that. And I guess I mean, for me,
was I right about all of it? I think all my points are right.
Yeah. For me, it didn't bother me so much at the time because, again, yeah. Uncle Ben was fresh in my mind as far as, like, how he was supposed to go.
So, and that, like, was, it was done so well in the first
one. But you didn't need to drag that out in the new one as far as, like, yes, I felt way less emotional connection to Uncle Ben. There was an element that was lacking. But at the time, I wasn't looking for that because it's like, if you spend 45 minutes setting up Uncle Ben to die, I'm going to stop caring after, like,
yeah,
5 minutes.
And the first one, and this, like, I didn't even bring it up in the last one, but, like, the last podcast about Spider-Man 1, the way they set up Uncle Ben, like he was doing, like, the wrestling thing, and, like, he lied to him and stuff. Like, you felt that. This one was like, hey, man, can I have a couple pennies? No, not my policy. And then, like, it felt like just really fast-forwarded, like, okay, this has got to happen, so let's just do it. Like, there was no, like, setup for it. And I felt nothing for it, and I think that really hindered the movie for me. Like, going forward, like, I get it, your Uncle Ben died, but I don't really give a shit type thing. Like, and he's like, oh. And I do give him props, and it's probably because the first movie did it better. But he never found Uncle Ben's killer in the movie. Which I actually expected, like, when he was going, like, rogue and being a vigilante, I figure, oh, he's going to find him. Never found him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. I'm like, oh, wow, he actually never found the person. Because they're probably like, wait, the first one going to do this better? Yeah, we should probably not do that.
No, and I think, like, some of the things that I liked about Spider-Man, again, was he the stereotypical Tobey Maguire? No, but he was, like, your more modernized nerd as far as, like, Tobey Maguire was your classic, like, nerd. 90s yeah. type nerd. Like, what...
Oh, absolutely.
What people thought of nerds in the 90s, where, again, like, nerds have a different connotation now.
No, now that they're heroes. Years.
Yeah, it was like, oh, yeah, like...
Like, you whatever. Play football, you little stupid nerd.
Yeah, so I think, like, I didn't mind the update. Like, yes, they changed his character some. He was, you know, more... I felt more
I hated his suit in this film. I'm not gonna lie. I get it, he made it himself, but that suit was terrible.
It didn't bother me a lot. And it was different as far as...
Oh, it didn't bother you? It bothered a lot of people because in Amazing Spider-Man 2, they completely changed it.
Honestly, the suits are never make or break for me for any... I can't think of a superhero that I was like, oh, wow, I really hate what they did with the suit. I can't like this movie.
Yeah, it's just this one.
Besides Green Lantern.
See, I actually... CGI. Stay tuned for that one.
CGI green suit.
Yeah. Don't make this green suit.
It was or animated. Where, like, oh, now he actually had to, like, make his, like, web shooters.
No, see, So the weird thing about the original Spider-Man is, like, he actually just organically makes it, which is kind of weird, but it kind of made sense in the context. And like, hey, Peter Parker's that smart. They do make Peter Parker seem ridiculously smart in this movie.
Yeah.
Like an updated nerd
is what I was saying.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to make... I love that they did the scene, like, where he's trying to figure out the web shooters. Those are cool scenes in this film. Like, big fan. But, again, like, Andrew Garfield, like, he didn't seem like a... Like, when they did the Flash Thompson fight, he was like, eat the chicken, nerd, or whatever. And he was like, don't do it, don't. You don't have to do it. I'm like, dude, why does no one want to hang out with this guy? Like, I would hang out with this dude in high school. Yeah. And they wanted to make him outcast, but I was like, I don't buy it. I do not buy it.
Or him trying to ask Gwen Stacy out.
I kind of bought that, though.
Yeah, I'm like, that was good.
That was good. No, and Gwen, and you're going to hear this in the next podcast about Amazing Spider-Man 2. The one great thing about these two films is the relationship between Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker. They seem that their chemistry on screen is fantastic. They seem like someone that could be dating in high school. Like I completely buy their romance. Like, 100%. It's everything else. When everyone's like, hey, we got to take the crane. You're going to do some overtime. It's like, nope, not buying it. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then he has to get shot in the leg, too. He's like, oh, he's going to make it. And then he has the web bandages himself up. He's like, oh, I'm going to make it. He's like, oh, is he going to make it? And they're like, you radios. I mean, I can go on all day about this, but it wasn't good.
Well, and I wasn't sure, even when I was watching it, if I liked the whole dynamic with the dad.
Like Gwen Stacy's dad?
Gwen Stacy's dad.
You unearthed a monster, my friend. I hated it, especially at the end, because he was trying to get the Spider-Man, and then at the end he's like, you gotta tell me, you can't take Gwen. Can't do it. And it's like, well, why not? He seems like he hated him before, and then at the end he's like, last thing's like, please don't date my daughter. Which also makes Peter Parker kind of a prick in the next movie when you think about it.
Yeah. No, like, the whole dynamic, like, it wasn't a bad dynamic in the beginning as far as like, oh, the girl you like is the cop that's after you. Like, I'm like, okay. But like, I don't know. They really didn't do it for me. And especially, yeah, how he died, where I'm like, okay. Like,
also, Dennis Leary should be canceled from this movie. Because both times you brought up Godzilla when you brought up Tokyo. It's pretty stereotypical, Dennis Leary. He's like, oh, you should go tell the neighbors of Tokyo. I'm like, you already made that joke, like, two jokes ago.
Yeah.
But this movie... I was going to say it's going to be my lowest rated Spider-Man film, but we all know what's coming up next. This gets a 6.5 for me. Like, this is... I've watched it twice, and I'm like, nope.
Really?
Like, because the movie is like... How do I describe it? It's not really a fun watch. Like, it's like... Again, there's some great parts in this film. Like, when the subway thing, when he actually finds to be Spider-Man and, like, accidentally kicks people's asses. It's a fun scene. But then he's like, oh, I'm going to get a skateboard. And I'm going to find my powers that way. Like, it keeps going up a little bit, but then it gets taken down a lot for me.
It's kind of the opposite of Spider-Man 3 as far as...
Well, Spider-Man 3 was good.
To me... dragged in some parts, especially in the middle, and the beginning wasn't like keeping me on the edge of my seat, but I loved how it ended. This movie, I didn't really care for the ending. It didn't seem like a great ending, but I really liked the setup. Like, I bought into the setup on this movie a little bit. So, yeah, I probably like it more than you. I'd probably give it a 7. Wow. As far as...
First time you rated one higher than me.
And I'm probably lowballing it as far as, like, I did enjoy it. Maybe I could have given it a little higher, but it does have its issues.
It just... You rebooted it too quickly, and you kind of, like, fast-forward to so many emotional parts. That's my biggest thing. Like, I didn't buy into it from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I did. And it was probably just because I was very off-put by Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst trying to pretend like they had some type of chemistry.
Which they had done.
This was, like, very refreshing as far as, like, the characters, like, you actually cared about. And you thought they were good together. And so a lot of the stuff that this movie didn't do well didn't seem so bad because you didn't dislike the two main characters together.
That's fair. Now, Bruce and Reeves signing off, going down to number 3 or number 2.